We're talking to UNC alumni about what the heel do you love about your job. Today, Whit shares her experience at NBC Sports Next. She'll tell us a little bit about herself, and then we'll dive into the job details.
All right, my name is Whit Fry. I am UNC class of 2007, and I majored in communication studies with a concentration in rhetorical studies with a minor in African-American studies. And my hometown is Greensboro, North Carolina, or Pleasant Garden. You know, my mom usually says I'm from Pleasant Garden, but I like to claim Greensboro. And the current city that I live in is Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I actually work from home. So living and working from home in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And next is telling you a little bit about what I do, right? So I am director of NCSI for NBC Sports Next. NCSI is an actual background screen company that was acquired by NBC Sports Next to help with their digital platform and then also with U Sports. So I am actually in charge of all the operations, everything that kind of deals with what goes on in a background screen, even though it seems kind of mundane and something that people normally wouldn't know. I think that's part of the appeal of it. It's just really diving in and being part of the safety initiatives that are kind of protecting our kids, you know, adults and the sports industry as a whole, because, you know, every kid generally plays sports when they're younger, or they, you know, benefit from sports in some way. And so the officials, the coaches, the athletes, and just students in general, or, you know, kids in general are things that we need to protect and kind of preserve. And so I'm glad to be part of that bigger picture, but NBC Sports Next is actually a really good burgeoning company. It's part of the NBC Universal, you know, world, the NBC Sports world. And so we have a lot of access to not only your national governing bodies like, you know, USA Volleyball, softball, some of those types of organizations, but also, you know, some of the grassroots level. And so, you know, you kind of run the gamut from top to bottom, but we have the access to kind of see how things work, you know, get some of those insider VIP access to make sure that we're servicing our clients in the right way. So it's been a really whirlwind type of job, but the NBC Sports Next family is one of the things that I really enjoy about my job. The value that they place on their employees and the way that you're working towards the same common goal, but in different facets, and really tailoring the experience to each employee. I think that that's really what I enjoy, and hearing that feedback and having a safe space. You know, sometimes people used to, you know, I used to be a law professor at one point, and I used to tell my students, you know, this is a Vegas conversation. And so I think sometimes being able to have those Vegas conversations inside the workplace really engenders that type of camaraderie that you really want to see in a workplace. You know, we're upon the great resignation, and I don't think that I will be part of that because of the experiences that I've had at NBC Sports Next, where you're being valued, your opinion is valued, and your work is validated. And so seeing how that works and seeing how to improve processes and having those internal conversations where you can, you know, slip in a little, you know, humor here and there. And you don't have to be so buttoned up and business-like, because business is, it takes many forms. And so I think that they've hit the mark with understanding that business doesn't have to be suits and ties and, you know, those hard dinners where you're pushing stuff out, or, you know, billable hours, because I'm an attorney as well. So, you know, I don't have to worry about that. That work-life balance that I'm able to get is something that's really invaluable. I never wanted to go to court every day. I didn't become a lawyer to go to court every day. So I wanted to be a businesswoman. And so they're actually taking steps to improve that knowledge that I have. So I have that base knowledge of legal. I know how to protect athletes. I know how to do processes, but the business part is what, you know, that professional development that you need. And so sometimes it's not necessarily just taking a webinar or, you know, being involved in a course, but really having, you know, the general manager reach out to me and ask me, can you join this? Can you do this? Or having our sales manager say, Whit, do you want to come to the Country Music Awards and work with, we have some extra tickets. Do you want to, work with some of our clients, have that personalized experience? And so country music is not my forte. So I kind of declined on that one. But, making sure that me as an individual and as a professional, that I'm not stagnant, and that they're able to identify the holes that I have in my, in my resume. Well, not necessarily my resume, but in my, wheelhouse of tools and tricks and skills, and say, hey, we got some ways to make sure you're doing the right thing. Or we identify that, you might need some work here. That's fine. Let's figure out how to do it. And even just having those candid conversations, sometimes I can be a little bit of a firecracker. And my vice president, the woman that I report to, she told me, she said, sometimes you can be a firecracker, but let's sizzle it to sparkler level. And that's something that I needed and that I probably wouldn't have gotten elsewhere. And so I really appreciate that. And I appreciate the value of diversity of thought. I think DE&I is a really big buzzword and code word. Well, not code word, but a buzzword right now. But it's hard to figure out how to implement. And I think that when you focus on diversity of thought, then the diversity in, race, creed, color, a socioeconomic background, education level, that comes with it. And so, being led by a strong woman, even though that can be a misnomer in some instances, being the strong woman, but being led by a woman, being led by a woman and being part of the executive team that is all women is something that I have not seen before. But it's something that I really value because it shows that not only from the top down, they value that diversity of thought and value the skills and leadership that we have and that we're able to demonstrate that to other people. So that's really, it's a lot in a little bit of time, but I really do. I really am valuing that experience at NBC Sports Next.
That's awesome.
No, ma'am.
Sorry, something she's excited about.
Yes, I guess she's excited too. She's like, my mom's home all the time now. She has to go to the office.
She must be happy. Absolutely. I was struck by so many things you said about where you are working now and just how there was space to grow. That really stood out to me. But also your joy in sort of, I heard you talk about purpose and fulfillment and being able to be impactful. And that is just so incredible. And being led by a team of all women, when does that happen?
I mean, I have 6 direct reports and only one of them is a man.
Wow.
So, I think that's really important, especially being able to be part of a force that empowers others. My personal motto is to leave an imprint of lasting change wherever I go. And I think that's kind of what Tar Heel should be doing, that's that Tar Heel print. So whenever I leave somewhere, I want someone to say Whit was here, but I really want to do that with my team and being able to empower them to be better, to think differently, to say, hey, you can speak this way. Or people say, I don't like conflict. Well, let's figure out a way to communicate this information in a way that doesn't make you feel that way. And understanding that, as women, even though we don't want to subscribe to a lot of gender norms, there are certain things that are really attributable to our experience. And so being able to identify that and have that cultural competency is something that I really am excited about because I'm able to lead by example, but then just also learning that leadership does not mean that you're class president all the time. It's not standing up in front and speaking loudly. Sometimes it's stepping back and seeing, okay, this person works well here. This person does not work well here, but they do this very, good. Let's figure out a way to push forward. Or even when my staff may tell me, I'm applying for a new job. Oh, congratulations. How can I help you? And I'm not taking that I'm not taking that as a personal attack, but more so, how can I help you figure out how to get where you are? And if you want to leave here, it's not necessarily because, you know, you don't like me or you don't like the company, but, you know, your opportunity to do what you really want to do has not been maximized here. So then that gives me the opportunity to figure out how to create more opportunities internally. So, you know, now I'm thinking of it, you know, from a gear, you know, standpoint, like how do all these gears work? Do we have too many things here? Can we cull some stuff down? Yeah, change is going to be difficult. And I think the experiences that I've had in my career, you know, working in nonprofit, working for the government, where you see all the times where it's like, well, we've always done it that way. Or being able to work or having to work with limited resources, especially like in the nonprofit world where, you know, some, you know, big corporations, you have all these programs and all I have is Excel. What am I supposed to do with this? How do I, and I learned how to be efficient with less. And so now that I have more, it's actually just a, you know, it's a stepping stone. And I think that that has prepared me for this role. And so I'm a big people person. You know, I was a cheerleader at UNC. So, you know, I'm loving the ability to cheer my team on and realize that, you know, you have the best seat on the floor. And so as the director, I have the best seat on the floor to see how the business works, how it can, you know, be, you know, maximized efficiently, but then also how I can grow within the organization. And I don't necessarily think that there is an opportunity for me to grow. And, you know, even just kind of, you know, joining the team and, you know, the general manager say, hey, we have this Black employee network. You know, we're looking for some more leaders. You know, would you, you know, be interested in that? That's something else that I really value, because I think one important part of any relationship is safety. You want to feel safe enough to be yourself. You want to feel safe enough to, you know, provide feedback. You want to feel safe enough to celebrate yourself. Sometimes there are those organizations where, you know, you share some information and people are like, oh, well, good for you. You know, people always tell me that my friend is like, Whitney, that does not mean that. I'm like, yes, it does. You generally, like when someone says good for you, it's really like, I'm glad you're happy about that. But I really don't care. and so, you know, being able to share some of those wins that you have on and off the court or in and outside of the job is very important and valuable. And so I think making sure that people feel seen as well. So safe and seen is another type of thing is, you know, you got to feel safe, but you also want to feel seen. You want to be seen for the work you're doing. You know, and I'm okay with the reality that everything is not going to be peaches and roses, but I want to be able to make people know that I see other people and I see you too. So I'm going to hold you accountable for what, you know, for what you're supposed to know, what you're supposed to do. And, you know, we're trying to maximize everything. So, you know, review, regroup, and revamp. That's kind of been my motto for the year so far.
I love that. That's awesome. What a great focus for the year. And everything you just mentioned now is just such important work and not always a given in the workplace.
Right.
I love it that you have spaces where folks say, you know, congratulations, how can we help? It's, again, so important and empowering to have mm-hmm. those spaces. That's just incredible. You have shared so much about your current experience. I want to leave our audience with one more question, which is, you know, again, given your time at UNC and your pathway to where you are now, give us a sense. I mean, did you ever think you'd be here? You know,
No, I did not. I did not think that I would be here. I'll say I was terrified when I first came to Carolina. I called my mom. And I was like, I don't have any socks. And she drove like 45 minutes to you know, find me some socks. And she couldn't find me because I had found some friends or something. So I was just so overwhelmed and anxious. And I think my experience as a cheerleader really helped me because I was able to interact with so many people and learn the benefit of relationship building. So, you know, I met Doug Dibbert. When I was at Carolina, I was in that Carolina Is video. I was a senior marshal. And I think I spent more time at the GAA building than I did on any other building on campus. You know, I was there on Saturdays for football games. And so I think I knew that there was opportunity out there, but my anxiety that I'm very candid about just really prevented me from kind of exploring those things that I knew I could do. And so it took, you know, graduating to say, hey, wait, there's so many opportunities at, you know, UNC. There's so many opportunities for engagement and that relationship building. And I can say that a Carolina grad, you know, has been probably a part of my journey at every step of the way. I got my, you know, my first job, you know, in sports because of Clayton Summers, who's the secretary of UNC now. And I met him my first internship at a law school where I was not getting paid. And I just kind of talked to him and we kind of connected from there and stayed, you know, in touch, you know, meeting Travis Tigard, you know, the CEO of USADA, you know, and he, you know, meeting him out in Colorado Springs and having him really vouch for me. He took a picture with me and sent it to Doug Dibbert. And I was just like, this is one of Time's most influential, like, people in sports ever, you know, like, I'm watching, you know, documentaries about, you know, Lance Armstrong and things like that. And here he pops up and he takes a picture with me. And I just thought that was just like the most amazing thing, just to meet him. But then also just kind of some of the people that, you know, at USA Basketball, the foundation, the new executive director, Jennifer Williams, she used to play for Carolina. And, you know, just, you know, being able to interact with her out here and learn from her experiences and see that, you know, she's been in the industry. And when she came, you know, to my former job, I reached out to her and it's kind of like, you're doing a lot of the same things that I want to do. And she just kind of took me under her wing. You know, there are just so many people, you know, my coach, Brown Walters, you know, he wrote one of my recommendation letters for law school. And it's just been, you know, UNC has been a very important part of my life, you know, ever since I was a kid. You know, my granddad's there, you know, going to the GAA and walking in and seeing your granddad's on the wall, that's kind of weird. But it does show just kind of how we treat our alumni, how we consider our alumni. And I said it in that Carolina Is video, it's almost like when you see a Carolina emblem, you see somebody that's part of your family. You may think maybe your long distant cousin twice removed, but there's that instant connection. And so that's really kind of what I gathered. It's just, you know, I was able to learn more about myself and really kind of tap into who I was supposed to be at Carolina. And then it just kind of matured from there. It's almost like that little incubator and they sent me off into the world and I was scared, but they're like, you got everything you need, you know? So that's one of the things I kind of tell myself, all you have is all you need.
That's so incredible. Just wow.
It's just a crazy thing. There's so many people, like, you know, even kind of Algie Crumpler, who was on the board with me. I met him at Carolina in the hotel when we were, I think we were in Charlotte when we won the national championship in 2005. So that was one of like our stops on the, you know, on the trip, you know, to the Natties, to the national championship. And it was this big guy with a Carolina shirt on. And I was just talking to him. And, you know, because I'm so short, I don't really have a really good idea of like size and height and stuff. So like, you know, some people would be intimidated. I just talk to anybody. And, you know, I started talking to him and I was like, are you here for the game? Not knowing who he was. And he was like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm a cheerleader here. You know, hope you, you know, enjoy the game. Hope to see you soon. Da, da, da. And then my coach tells me, he's like, do you know who that is? And I was like, nope, have no clue. And he goes, it's Algie Crumpler. And I was like, that's nice. Still don't know who that is. And that's when he was playing for the Falcons. And so even after that, every game that he came to, he would speak to me. And I would see, you know, Algie, you know, and I'd be like, hey, how you doing? And now he'll check up on me and see how I'm doing. So that's kind of a kind of funny thing. Cause I remember riding through Atlanta and seeing his face on a billboard one time. I was like, oh, that's Algie, you know? You know, and then like Kelvin Bryant, his wife, Wanda used to, I think, no, Tony Wanda. Well, we can edit that out, but her wife used to work at my granddad's, law firm. And so like when I would be on the sidelines and if I didn't feel good or if it was cold, he would actually give me his coat and I would be able to talk to him. You know, you see that, or, you know, having the JDRF when my parents and my grandparents were honored and my sisters and I were the Fundacure chairs. And they had Roy Williams actually donated, you know, experience to the JDRF. And I think out of all of the like, I guess, experiences, he only donated it to his foundation and to the JDRF. And so in his video, he actually shouted me out. He was like, and their granddaughter, you know, cheered at Carolina. And I remember one time my grandparents walked up to me like, our granddaughter cheered at Carolina. Do you know her? And he was like, oh yeah, Little Wit. And I was just like, oh, he knows my name. He knows me. You know, or, you know, walking into my old job and looking at like the basketball team from, I think, the 90s, when Larry Brown was on there and Popovich and then Coach Anners. And now knowing him, and, you know, I'm like taking a picture and sending it to him, or him texting me and say, hey, I'm at Larry Brown's house, you know, how are you doing? And that's just a cool thing to have all of those points of connections and kind of seeing like, wow, this world is, it's big, but it's small, but, you know, you have to take advantage of those experiences. So, you know, I didn't even know that Dean Smith knew my granddad. And Coach Hanners told me, he said, you know, Dean Smith would actually talk about always call him Chief Justice Fry. And he said his face actually changed whenever he spoke about him. And he just so complimented. And I told my granny, he's like, I didn't know that. And I didn't know. And the funny thing is that Coach Hanners knew my uncle from when he went to like a camp or something like with Larry Brown. So it's just a weird, not weird, but I think it's just a providential type of thing. It's that, you know, being a Tar Heel, and I'm always saying we did it first. But I think we do it best. And I think, you know, knowing that these imprints, these little footprints are kind of everywhere. You see them just kind of like, you know, you're kind of running around. And now looking at my LinkedIn and looking at all the people I'm connected to, I'm like, I would have never thought that would happen, you know, for, you know, when I announced my job change, for even for Travis to say, you know, don't forget your other families. That really meant a lot to me. And putting that underneath my, you know, having those people really just kind of recognize you and see you and, you know, validate those things that you didn't even know about yourself. So, you know, I would have never gotten the opportunity to meet you or the other people on, you know, on the GAA staff if it hadn't been for Travis just taking that picture with me after lunch, after meeting him. And I remember my boss being like, I've known him for 8 years, he's never asked me lunch. And I told him, I said, maybe you have to be a Tar Heel. And you know, you kind of go from there. So it's just it's probably one of the most important things that I've ever done, is make that decision to come to Carolina. I only applied one place. And I took that gamble, but I figured, you know, I was up for the Moorhead. I was at semifinal stage. So I was like, they're probably gonna let me in. I mean, I took that gamble and I'm glad that I did. You know, UNC is in Vegas. It has better odds. You know, the odds are always in our favor. You know, and I love bragging on people like, you know so much about Carolina. I'm like, why don't you know so much about your place? You know, I'm like, we're the University of National Champions. You know, we're talking about field hockey, you know, really kind of all of the people that people, well, a lot of the people that are icons in almost every industry have some connection to Carolina. Charles Carroll, you know, you have Madeline Albright spoke at my graduation. You know, you have Michael Jordan, Mia Hamm, you know, Roy Williams, Dean Smith, you know, even you're talking about, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you know, playing football, you know. Those are my granddad went there, you know, for law school. And so it's just it's a place where you can be the first, but we always make sure you're not the last. And I think that's really the most important part, is, you know, we're always feeding into we don't know what binds us to this place. We don't know. But I think it's just the people. We're the sinew, we're the meat and muscles. You know, just knowing, you know, being able to meet with, you know, Chancellor Folt when I was in, you know, in undergrad, that's not necessarily something that most people get to do, but I mean, it's just the accessibility and the things that I've learned. You know, I still have my rhetoric syllabus from one of my classes with Eric King Watts in my desk, because I loved that class. And I remember just kind of being able to understand, oh, wow, like people like, you majored in rhetoric, and that's the best thing I've ever done. It's because it was really what I like to do. I like to read and understand like the connections, you know, between language and stakeholders. And it's really just kind of helped me as a lawyer, as a leader, as a person. And so I think like whatever you want to do, you can probably do it at Carolina. you know? I mean, even my sister, she's connected. She did her residency at UNC Children's Hospital, and she was actually a patient there when she was younger. And, you know, she had been hospitalized for a couple of months. And so being able to have that full circle moment and having Carolina be at the pinnacle of that, I just can't think of anything finer.
Oh, and I couldn't think of anything else to add to that wit. You just said it so wonderfully. There is undefined magic that binds us all to Carolina. That is for sure. We're going to have to wrap it up for now, but thank you so much for sharing your experiences with us. It's just been a pleasure to hear your journey.
I'm glad that Carolina's a part of it. I'm sure that it's not ending here, and it'll probably circle right back around to UNC.
At the odds point. Are in that favor for sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you again and take care.
Yes, ma'am.